Welcome to the SCMS Classical Conversation Podcast, taped live at the SCMS Winter Music Festival. I'm King FM's Dave Beck, and I hope you enjoy these in-depth conversations with festival musicians. By the way, you can find out more about the episodes and get details at seattlechambermusic.org and at king.org. Make sure to rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts, and away we go. Seattle Chamber Music Society artist Jonathan Vinokur thinks one reason he's so attracted to the viola is that he's a middle child. He likes that the viola is a bit less extroverted than its little brother, the violin. And from the vantage point of a viola in the middle of the symphony orchestra, the violist basks in the glorious melodies, harmonies, and colors of the instruments that surround it. In part one of our podcast from the SCMS Winter 2021 Virtual Festival, Jonathan, principal violist of the San Francisco Symphony, tells the story of how he came to the viola after false starts as a cellist and drummer. Good afternoon from the Seattle Center studios of listener-supported classical King FM 98.1 and king.org. I'm Dave Beck, your host for this 10th anniversary season of Classical Conversations podcasts, featuring musicians who perform with the Seattle Chamber Music Society. This latest chat taking place on Monday, March 15th, 2021. The SCMS musicians recently gathered in the new SCMS Center for Chamber Music in downtown Seattle, where they rehearsed and recorded a set of virtual concerts for the Seattle Chamber Music Society Online Winter Festival. The artist joining us today has distinguished himself as the principal violist of internationally celebrated orchestras. Jonathan Vinokur, appointed principal in the San Francisco Symphony in 2009, served in the same position in the St. Louis Symphony before that, and was guest principal viola of the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra. He's a veteran of several seasons with the Seattle Chamber Music Society, teaches at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, and coaches with the New World Symphony in Miami. A great honor to welcome via Zoom from his home in the Bay Area, violist Jonathan Vinokur. Jonathan, good to meet you. Good to see you.
Great to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
We're going to start with your viola origin story, if you don't mind.
Sure.
How was it that the viola came into your hands, became the instrument of choice for you?
Well, it took a while for me to settle on the viola, actually. When I was young, so my mother played the piano in the home, not professionally, but she just played as an amateur. So we always had a piano. But the instrument that really interested me first, I think, was the cello, based on a Boy Scout troupe show and tell where one of the kids was wow. playing the cello. And I'm sure he was probably a total beginner, but something about just the sound of the instrument, I really liked it. And I asked my parents if I could also play, but we had this piano in the house, and they said, why don't you, start with piano, see what you think. And for whatever reason, I did not take to the piano. And later, maybe some sort of retribution, I said, you know what, actually, I want to play the drums. So that was my next instrument, in fourth grade when it's time to pick an instrument. I think a lot of my friends were going to be in the band or something, and I decided I wanted to play the drums. And I had a great time with it, but it didn't totally hold my attention. And by the end of that first year, I was still really wanting to play a string instrument, and went back and just listened to recordings of violin, viola, cello, and I just loved the sound of the viola and decided I'm gonna go with that one.
I have to jump in here and say that my first merit badge on my way to becoming an Eagle Scout was the music merit badge.
Oh yeah.
And my Boy Scout master, who was a great mountaineer and scout leader and everything, was also a bass player in the Seattle Symphony, a graduate of the Eastman School of Music, and completely plugged me into the youth symphony system here in Seattle. So it's a little odd, but I love kind of hearing these connections through Boy Scouts, good old Boy Scouts.
So
was there something about a kind of personality match between you and the viola, or what else was part of your attraction to the?
Well, I perhaps, I mean, I'm technically a middle child, and I feel like the viola is sort of like the middle child of the string instrument world. I mean, I say technically because I have a twin brother and he's technically the youngest
brother. I see, yes, I see.
So, but really, even though it was just a technicality growing up, that did seem significant. I felt like a middle child for some reason. And so, yeah, with the viola, I think I wanted to do something that was just a little bit more, a little less extroverted than the violin, a little bit more in the middle of things. I remember distinctly hearing a school orchestra concert in probably fourth grade, and I probably wasn't really even noticing the sound of the viola that much, but I could just see it in there in the middle of everything. And I remember thinking, like, that looks great to me. So, yeah, there's probably some connection there between just wanting to not stick out too much or be too much of a solo voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it about that perspective from the middle of the orchestra? I think it was Dvorak who was a viola player along with piano and you know, always talked about just being in the middle of that glorious sound of the symphony orchestra. Is that part of it for you?
Yes, now it is. I mean, I didn't really have awareness of that at first, but certainly now I love being in the middle in all the moving lines that are right in the middle of the harmonies. Of course, sometimes we're playing melodically too, but in the orchestra, a lot of times what we're doing is playing the counterpoint that where some of the more subtle shifts of harmony are happening. You're bringing to mind a quote that I happened to just see earlier today, and I'm just going to grab it off my music stand here because, and it ties into something we might talk about later, which is Rebecca Clark, who was a violist and composer, and her teacher, I want to just find this. Right. She played violin until her composition teacher, Sir Charles Stanford, urged her to shift over to the viola because then she would be, quote, right in the middle of the sound and can tell how it's all done. As a composer. And you mentioned Dvorak, but there are many others. Mozart, Bach, Brahms, I believe, also. There are many composers who favored playing the viola when they were going to play chamber music, for instance.
Yeah. What was your vision for where you saw your career going? You talked about discovering the viola, but did you have your sights set on becoming a professional musician early on in your life?
Not really, actually. I didn't, because I started a little bit on the late side. I guess I picked up the viola when I was about 10, just turned 10, which is a little late. And so I didn't get serious until more like high school, really. And at that point, I'd already been thinking so long about wanting to go into science or something like that, something more academic. So by the time I started thinking like, hey, maybe this is something I could really do professionally in my life, I just had this kind of inertia about my path leading somewhere else. So it really took me until basically the middle of college to decide, no, I want to do viola and pursue it.
And what were the circumstances there? What was going on that caused that shift?
I always really loved playing, and especially after doing some summer programs in high school, I loved playing, especially chamber music. I did a quartet program and after maybe sophomore year of high school, and it was definitely the thing I was most passionate about, but it just didn't feel like a realistic option at that time. And I think what led me to realize that, hey, maybe I actually can do this, was just continuing to go to summer festivals and work with various teachers and start to gain a sense that maybe I could do it. Maybe I had enough talent to to go forward with it. But I didn't really have a sense for that early on.
Hmm. And did a teacher kind of help push you in the direction, or a particular performance or some other event?
There was one particular teacher. I remember the first time a teacher, I had a great teacher in high school who was extremely unpushy, and also realized that within my family, maybe it was a little controversial to push me in the direction of music. I mean, she was very supportive, but she just never said anything like, I think you should be pursuing this, you know, professionally. But then in college, I did have a teacher who was a little bit more pushy that way. And then I started to, you know, it got me thinking like, oh, maybe this is realistic. But mostly it was just being amongst peers who were, but in college, I wasn't in music school, so I wasn't surrounded by peers who were pursuing music, really. But being at summer festivals with those peers gave me a sense that maybe it was reasonable, and I was just having so much fun playing.
Yeah,
basically. And you know, I was enjoying the other things I was studying at the time, but which weren't music, but not in the same kind of passionate way.
Mm-hmm. I talked to so many musicians, and it was the case with myself in terms of playing the cello growing up, as it sounds like your circumstances and mine were very similar. It wasn't a big family tradition music, but getting to the Marrowstone Music Festival run here in the region by the Seattle Youth Symphony, that was a real case for me of finding my tribe. You know, there's other people that do this. Also, they do it at an extremely high level. And that just opened up a whole new world for me. And it sounds like it might've been similar for you.
It was very similar for me. Yeah. And I grew up in Rochester, where Eastman is. And so we had some great music programs in high school, but it was still very local, you know. And it really took getting away from there a bit to you know, meet a few more people who were very passionate about it and really doing it at a high level and getting to play music with them. That just led to more, I guess, conviction about it, like that I do love it, in fact, and that maybe I can do this.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Classical Conversation Podcast. This podcast is a co-production of Seattle Chamber Music Society and King FM. Bill Levy is our recording engineer. Nikhil Sarma produces the program. To learn more, go to seattlechambermusicsociety.org or to king.org. Hope to have you back with us for the next episode.